Welcome back, heroes. When last we left our fearless crew, silent but deadly Lennox, the Rodian of the people, and noble, baffled Tristan had engaged the great, dishonest Abe, that pernicious president of perfidious plots, Darth Abraham Lincoln, in combat most mortal. With his mighty rail split saber and his army of capitalist Yank 3 war droids quickly surrounding our heroes, the ignoble Sith from the Illinois Nebula might well prove too challenging a battle for our heroes. So with quick thinking, and not much else, our comrades-in-arms must talk him down until their ship, the battered but reliable Minok Seisung, arrives to save them. Let's rejoin our heroes now.
It seems you two vodka-choked bounty hunters have met your end. I've always felt that a Rodian divided against itself cannot stand, and also its guts will fall out. So let's test that theory. But I'm feeling charitable, and I'm nothing if not a man of my word. Join me in the capitalist empire. Feel the power of the dark side of the invisible hand, or I'll emancipate you from your heads even. What do you say?
That's very interesting, comrade. Let me tell you, though, this, that always history is coming to our side, not Planet America, but the communism. Droids turn against your master. All you have to lose is your restraining bolt. You can do this. There is the history of private property and you are owned. And the force is the opium of the people. Isn't that right, Comrade Lennox?
I can't do Lennox's voice. Hello, and welcome to Afterthought, the podcast where every other week, John and Jeff get together and talk about whatever the hell they want for about 4 minutes before they give up and answer listener questions instead.
Aw.
And this week, probably no exception. I don't even know what the hell we're going to talk about. We don't have a game to discuss.
We don't.
Anyway, I'm Jeff. That's John right over there. Say hi, John.
Hi, John.
Perfect. Couldn't be better.
Yeah, that's that classic humor.
A more classic bit there isn't.
It's the world's oldest joke.
Hey, John, would you like these dead batteries?
Why would I want dead batteries?
Because they're free of charge.
Hey.
All right, we'll be here all week trying to think up another Afterthought intro. Seriously, that takes all day. It is so late at night.
I'm so tired, you guys. I mean, I'm tired anyway because I'm jet-lagged.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we can start with that. John, you are just back from a big old vacation.
Yeah.
To the most emerald of isles.
Indeed. I was in Ireland for like 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
I did manage to get into a nerd store once when I was there.
Dungeons and Donuts, was it?
Yes. Man, let me tell you, that is a brilliant idea.
So is that it was true to the name. It was like a straight-up actual donut shop and also a nerd store.
Well, I mean, it was super tiny because they didn't really have a whole lot of space, but the place they were in was great.
All right.
And it was like a donut counter, and it basically was like they had made some donuts at the beginning of the day, and whatever they had when they sold out, that was it.
Okay.
But they had some super nerdy ones, so they had like the White Walker, and underneath all of them, they had little quotes, so that one was, "You know nothing, Jon Snownut."
God, that's terrible.
Right? Oh, it appealed to me on a deep level.
This is the worst.
There was the Chocolatus Exterminatus, and I got the Chocolate Balls of Doom.
Very nice.
Yeah, and that one came with 3 cream puffs on top of it. Like, the donuts that they had here were insane. Like, right. Just super crazy, extravagant donuts.
See, I'd prefer to go for, like, a Jelly Morgulis if I was going to get a Game of Thrones donut. But whatever. You know, it's fine.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They had that. And then when I was there, they were doing a Pro Tour qualifier for Magic as well.
So they did have enough room in there for some tables and so on then.
Yeah. It's not a huge space, but they had, like, a few tables. So they had enough to do a... like 10-person qualifier, and then we had there were like three more tables that weren't being used. So there were people playing games at those, and the way they did it is you could like rent games out.
Oh, okay.
But if you have to pay to rent them, sure. But the rental fee comes with a donut and a drink.
Oh,
so
lovely.
There you go.
Nice. Now, is it true to UK fashion where the drink is like a beer? or was it like, it's sodas? It's
no, you get a little tiny can of soda.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard about that about Europe, that the soda cans are not up to our lofty American soda can standards.
Oh, no. It's super tiny soda, and you can find, like, the larger bottles of soda, but I think it's because they don't have the ridiculous corn subsidies that we have, so that it actually tastes like sugar.
Oh, okay, that's nice. Because
they use that instead of...
And no one's just drinking it consistently. Like, I feel like I feel weird if I don't have a giant amount of soda on my person.
Man, going into a place and being like, yeah, I would like a soda with this meal, and they bring you out, like, a tumbler of Coke. And not like a Coke that wants to get up in your face about social justice, just like a small glass of Coke.
Couldn't you at least go with, like, a porn tumbler?
I don't know.
Less inflammatory?
No, there's no way I could do something less inflammatory.
Although, I gotta be honest, bringing me a small cup of Coke if I ordered Coke in a restaurant, that's like, I would sue that restaurant at that point. I'd be like...
It's infuriating.
Like, they brought me not a significant amount of Coke, Your Honor.
Also, they just wouldn't refill it.
Ooh, no. Do they refill the beers at least? I mean, we're talking about Ireland, so...
No, I mean, you do get another one, but for the same cost of... a tiny little Dixie cup of Coke, you can get a full pint of beer. So,
well,
you
at
know.
At least they're doing that right.
Yeah.
Slowly trying to wean people off sugar juice and into an actual grown-up beverage, which, honestly, though, I don't care for. I'm not a beer drinker.
That's okay. You can get some cider instead.
There you go. That's my baby. All
that
right.
Orchard Thieves.
So, did you do anything other than hang around in a nerd store in what I have to assume was either Dublin or...
It was Galloway.
It was in Galloway. For, like, 10 days, did you see anything else that mattered?
My God, I saw everything in Ireland. Because we had an itinerary that was... like, literally get off of a 12-hour flight and begin touring Dublin on the hop-on, hop-off bus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, went to Trinity College, went to, like, St. Patrick's Cathedral, did a whole bunch of stuff, and then just kept doing tours of everything. We rented a car, and also, not just the Cokes, the roads. My God, tiny, tiny roads. Roads with grass growing in the middle of them. It's like a one-lane road that you are expected to share with another car.
Nice.
And just because it's Ireland, all of the roads, you can never just go straight somewhere. It's always curving. So it's a tiny road that you feel like you're going to die on. You're driving on the wrong side of the road. And there are blind curves everywhere.
Also, one of the sports I understand, I believe it's probably a Scottish sport and not an Irish sport, but one of the sports I understand exists in that part of the world is just throwing an iron ball down the street as far as you can.
The one that we saw on TV was hurling.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, what?
That is very clearly Scottish.
No, man, that is super Irish, is hurling.
Hurling. It's one of the Scottish Highland Games.
Nah, man, that shit is crazy Irish.
Are we talking about the same thing, which is picking up a log and throwing it? No, I'm thinking caber toss.
Yeah, that's caber toss.
Okay, so what the hell is hurling?
Hurling is sort of like
if you were... competitive vomiting? Because that would make sense for an Irish sport.
Right?
Yeah.
But
it's not, is it?
No.
How far can you move this static basketball by barfing at it? Ireland!
It's essentially like if lacrosse was just played with a small cricket bat.
Oh, does it still have a little net on the end?
No.
So they're just running around swatting at a ball in the air with sticks.
It's like a handball-sized ball. Uh-huh. They have a tiny stick that they have to get it through the field. I don't think there's any penalty for holding it because I kept seeing people like just holding the ball.
Oh, so you can pick up the ball with your offhand.
I guess.
Okay, that changed.
But I think if it lands on the ground, you have to get it off the ground with a stick. You're not allowed to just pick it up.
Okay, wow. Well, I'm going to have to check that sport out. That sounds kind of cool.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
And when we were in Galway, they got beat by someone, and They were very sad about
it. It was a sad town.
It was a sad day for them as the, I don't know, like the Kilkenny Sabres or whatever beat them in the hurling match on the pitch. And I don't know. Words and things.
Well, while you were gone, I went to go see the coolest band that has ever been.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Now, that was Metalachi, which you and I have actually seen together before.
Yeah, because I recommended it.
Yes, and it is fucking fantastic. Although, I got to be honest, they switched violinists since last we saw them.
Aw.
I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you remember their previous violinist, Maximilian Dirty Sanchez.
Yes.
The guy with no shirt that played, like, unbelievable virtuoso violin.
Yeah.
Yeah. They switched him out for, oh gosh, I completely forgot her name, but she's quite awesome. She doesn't quite have his soloing ability, but she has a lot of stage presence and was really good to have have with them.
Sweet.
And it was still really fun to just see them. If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google it. Metalachi is a metal cover band that also mixes in a lot of mariachi.
Yeah. It is super awesome, and I love them, and the fact that they exist makes me happy because I thought of them years ago, and I will always say this. Way back when we first started playing Rifts, when I was in high school, my character made a band called Mariachica. So it was the reverse of it. Instead of Metalachi, it was Mariachica. And they did metal mariachi music, and then someone else did it, and I'm sad.
So you're taking early credit for this band.
What Although, I'm saying let's, is let's... I am the hipster of the idea of Metalachi.
You're also whiter than a goddamn sheet, and there's no way you would belong on stage with them.
Oh, good Lord, no.
Yeah. They are amazing. My personal favorite, they do a Here I Go Again on My Own, and then they mix it up. They do a mashup of it with Selena's Bitty Bitty Bomb Bomb. It's amazing. See if you can find a copy, although the Crazy Train is their the really good one that they have on YouTube, so check that out. Solid, super recommend, Metalachi, the Metal Mariachi cover band.
Hooray.
All right, great. So that's what we've been up to instead of putting out quality episodes of System Mastery like you'd expect.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that they would expect that.
No, okay. Instead of putting out episodes of System Mastery
there you go.
Like you'd expect. But don't worry, we're getting right back on track. We've got an episode coming out next week that'll be episode 74. And then the episode after that is going to not only be episode 75, which means you know what it is. It's going to be second edition Dungeons & Dragons. It'll also be our 3-year anniversary.
Aww. What is that, like paper?
It's the longest you've ever done any one thing, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's paper or tin or something. Why would I know what the anniversaries are? I'm not an old lady.
I'll give you a tin star.
Great. I'll give you a tin shit.
Sweet. I haven't had any of those.
Normally, I can't give a tin shit, but this time I kind of can.
Yay. Yay.
Hey, you want to answer some listener questions?
No.
Okay, well.
All right, well, show's over. Let's all go home, folks. Pack it in.
Instead, we'll record more of that intro.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's all we do now is just intros.
Just intros.
Just straight intros,
just intros
for an hour.
Outro music, and that's it. We tried it. It turned out that our voices and jokes don't test well with people.
Turns out people don't like to listen to us.
They just like to hear chiptune music that we found on Free Sound Archive.
People who are too lazy to go onto a Free Sound Archive
and look for old chiptune music.
They love us.
That's our audience. All right, first couple of questions. Here we go. Hey, guys, two questions.
No, one question. Two parts.
They're very different questions.
Aw, damn it.
All right, we'll try and answer these as two parts. You ready?
Yeah, let's do this as a two-parter.
Part one, John. You are each the middle part of a different Matryoshka doll. What are you inside of, and what is inside of you? So part two. I love fiasco. My favorite part is making terrible things happen to my character. Does this make me a sadist or a masochist? Yours, DJ Big Bird. Now remember, John, combine those answers.
Well, as it turns out, I am inside of a sadist, and inside of me is a masochist. Suck a dick. Yeah.
That's terrible. I am inside of an Iron Maiden, and inside of me is a pizza I had recently. All right, no, I'm going to try and answer these questions for real.
What I come out of is a cartoon hot dog.
Yeah, okay, that's true. That's your public face.
What's inside of me is, I don't know, probably a little sloth.
A little sloth?
Like, not even a doll that's painted to look like a sloth, but you just open up the doll and there's a really tiny sloth in
there.
Oh,
see, I didn't even get there. I just thought you were admitting to how lazy you are.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah, you were just like, oh, I live inside of a cartoon hot dog. That's my public famous persona that I have to deal with. But at night when I take off the face paint, I'm simply a John. And inside of that, John, laziness.
Laziness all the way down. Represented by a literal sloth.
A cute little sloth.
Yeah, and you just open it up and it kind of stretches a paw slowly out towards you.
All right,
with
well,
its terrifying claws.
I guess I can keep answering it the same way. I've got the outside exterior appearance where I hop out of, God, I don't want to say this, I come out of the inside of a 10-year-old girl. I don't, what am I, Jame Gumb?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm just setting you up to be in trouble with this one.
This is horrible. I've got this whole Buffalo Bill thing going now. And inside of me is someone who just hates games.
And inside of me is cholesterol.
Cholesterol. And just the good cholesterol, but so much of it that it's become the bad cholesterol.
Oh, yeah. You get too much of that good cholesterol, and some of it's going to go bad.
Also, I love Fiasco. My favorite part is making terrible things happen to my character. Does this make me a sadist or a masochist? You know, I got to be honest here. Fiasco is one I haven't read yet.
Oh, Fiasco's awesome.
Yeah?
So cool. the whole idea behind it, well, there are different versions of Fiasco, but the whole thing is sort of that sort of Coen Brothers-esque, like, things continue to get weirder and worse. So, like, you're doing a heist or, like, a Big Lebowski-esque type thing where every time you try and do something, something ridiculous wrong happens.
Oh, okay. So it's just sort of an ever-teetering tower of nonsense until something crazy happens?
Yeah. So you go through and just weird shit happens until the very end when you get to, like, the final fiasco where everything comes to a head.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I've still got Metalachi in my head. They do a really good final countdown. All right. Anyway.
So, yeah. The whole deal with that is then at the end you kind of like roll for what the outcome is. But you get to interpret things.
I've been trying. I'm going to be honest. I've been trying real hard to catch up on modern games. Because all we do is read shitty old games.
It's true. I've read so many bad old games and new good games.
So, recently I've started ordering them and getting them sent here so I can read them and catch up. So I just finished reading Savage Worlds. I have Dungeon World in the mail right now. I have 13th Age I want to crack into and finish reading. All I've ever read is the free RPG version of it. And I really want to get the rest.
Yeah.
What's it called? Blue Age or whatever. I want to read that. There's a whole bunch I want to catch up with.
Yeah.
But we are the worst people to ask about modern awesome games because that's just not where we live.
And if you like to punish your own character, that probably makes you more of a sadist than a masochist, since you don't have to deal with the consequences.
That's true. It's just happening to your character, who you are not.
Yeah, so it's inflicting pain on someone else. You just get to control it.
Fair enough.
So it's a very slave, dom-like, sadomastic.
You're so vanilla, it hurts.
I am.
You don't even know what you're talking about right now, do you?
Well, I don't know. I'm just getting licked by a cat. I can't form words when a cat's grooming me.
That's my
fetish.
Next one, a Twitter question, at System Mastery. Listening to Afterthought 35, neither of you have ever had corn nuggets? For real? Bryce.
Oh my God, why would I have corn nuggets?
Okay, so I'm sure that both of us have had corn nuggets. It's just that they weren't called corn nuggets.
I don't know. Was it called cornbread? Because then I've had that.
Well, the thing is, I'm sure that corn nuggets are probably like the same thing as hush puppies. Like fried cornmeal or like a corn batter that's been fried up in some way.
Maybe, but if they have niblets in there, you get that away from me right now.
I know. John has a weird, irrational issue with corn niblets. He can eat corn on the cob, but he can't eat corn off the cob.
Once you get that corn off of that cob, then you have ruined a perfectly good food.
What is eating corn on the cob other than extracting corn off the cob and turning it into niblets right in your mouth?
Well, you take some of the cob with you.
You always take some of the cob with you. That's the act of extracting niblets from a corn.
Yeah, I know, but that's what it is. It's you get some of that cob in your mouth with them niblets.
You're broken inside.
I am 100% a broken individual.
I'm willing to just let this slide because there's no fixing it. It's just crazy. It's just a crazy thing about you that you can't eat corn niblets.
Hey, man. Corn niblets are terrible, I will listen to nothing against this.
How about corn nuts? Like the you know, the crunchy...
Oh, corn nuts are fine.
See, that's just corn niblets that have been cooked to dryness.
Eh.
And that's probably what he was talking about when he was talking about corn nuggets, is corn nuts, the hard corn chip things.
No, I think it's probably like nuggets of corn.
Just nuggets? Just
you
like,
know, like you go into McDonald's and you're like, can I get a corn nugget?
Give me them corn nugs.
Giving them corn nugs.
They're like, we got fish nugs, beef nugs, pork nugs, ostrich nugs. We ain't got no corn nugs.
What kind of low rent dog and pony show McDonald's am I in?
The worst McDonald's. Doesn't have corn nugs and no corn dipping sauce.
How dare you?
What the hell are we even talking about? All right.
It's just high fructose corn syrup that you dip things into the corn dipping sauce.
Oh, it's like crystal gravy.
Oh, man. Jake.
No, Crystal
That's
Gravy.
That's my stripper name is no, Crystal Gravy.
I don't want you to ride this pony too long because Crystal Gravy is a 90s Saturday Night Live joke.
Aw, boo.
I'm trying to save you before you, because I was just referencing it. I don't want you to run off with it.
No, I'm running away with
guys,
this joke.
Guys, Crystal Gravy, it's an idea I just had.
Guys.
Guys.
You'll never guess what I just came up with.
And they're going to be like, you watched Saturday Night Live in the late 90s?
And I'll be like, well, kind of.
You dipshit. You spent way too much time with Chris Farley talking to fucking David Spade.
Hey, man. That's never a waste of time.
Fair enough. All right, next question from Wandering Bishop, who says, and this is a long one, you ready?
Nope.
We have all seen and played in RPGs based off of popular IPs, but some IPs just should not have been made into RPGs. The setting, the story, all of it are about a core group of NPC characters, and all other characters, like PCs, are superfluous to the story and the world. I am looking at you, Wheel of Time. Which, by the way, I've read the Wheel of Time D20 RPG, and it is shenanigans of the highest order. If the PCs cannot make real changes in their world because the world revolves around the NPCs from the established IP, then why bother playing? So I ask you, what are the most inappropriate IPs you have seen made into RPGs? What IP that is not currently an RPG, Wheel of Time is, would be the worst to make into an RPG? Alternatively, what is the best IP-based game you know of, based on IP and setting, not systems or crunch, and what IP out there would make, without an RPG, would make an RPG based solely off setting?
Oh, man, you've said the words RPG so many times, it has lost all meaning.
I know,
for
that
me.
Was tricky for me, I'm sorry. And you know what? I read this wrong. That's actually a question from Pocket Fox. So thank you, Pocket Fox.
Okay.
All right, great. So let's start off with this. I'm gonna break this thing down into questions.
Have me break this thing down for nothing.
I said, now, ladies.
Yeah?
What's cooler than being cool?
Ice tea?
Yeah, iced tea. Iced tea
is
cooler.
Iced tea is way cooler than being cool.
No, all right. Anyway, what are the most inappropriate IPs you have seen made into RPGs? We'll start with that one. The worst IP that you've seen made into an RPG.
Well, we already mentioned Wheel of Time.
All right. And I want to talk about that real quick, first of all. I've tried to read Wheel of Time like twice. And then I gave up because I don't like the writing style and read an overview. And I realized that it appears to be, and I'm just going out of limb here, and diehard Wheel of Time fans can correct me. Is it the story of straight people trying to save the world from evil lesbians?
No.
No? Okay, good. That's kind of what I figured when I was looking at the evil witch coven that kind of runs the world in that game.
No, the Aes Sedai are good guys.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. So maybe I'm just crazy. Whatever. I didn't like the writing style, but I don't know that it necessarily is a terrible thing to established IP that is already an RPG. For that, I'm going to go ahead and say, oh, gee, I don't know. What comes to mind? What's a terrible RPG that sucks and is based on a game or on a book series I hate? Stormbringer.
Yep, that's a real good one. No, anytime you have one that's based on, like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's a world that has a chosen one,
yeah,
and the IP goes through a storyline where the chosen one does something that irrevocably ends or changes the world. And you're like, oh, well, then nothing I do matters.
No, nothing you do matters, and everything you do is going to be held up in comparison to some super Jesus that is presumably also wandering around at the same time.
I mean, I've heard complaints about things like, say, Firefly or Star Wars or any of those ones where they're like, oh, but if you're not the main characters, then, you know, what does it matter? You're like, well, yeah, but there's enough of a universe there. But and it's not like those characters specifically are like, oh, yeah, they're the only ones doing anything. Well, Star Wars a little more, but
Star Wars in particular, I feel like you could definitely get away with. I mean, there are giant reams of stories told about Star Wars that don't have anything to do with the main characters. It's a big goddamn universe. All you really need to really tie it together is droids, the Force, lightsabers, you know, ships that can go into hyperspace, you're good. You're all set. You can tell a Star Wars story. Put a Wookiee in there. You're done. You're good. And it doesn't matter what Luke Skywalker is doing. You're fine.
Yeah.
So that's one that you can definitely do. And people have been doing it for forever. Plus, there are like 3, 5, 10 ages of Star Wars you can set things in. There's MMO set 4,000 years before Star Wars.
Yeah. So it's, I know people have complained to me before about those being like, oh, but if you're not like those main characters, then what are you even doing? And I go, at least there's a universe there, and it's not something like Malcolm Reynolds or anything is particularly destroying anything that you need to be there for.
Firefly in particular makes a really good idea for an RPG right up until the movie.
Yeah, well. The thing is, you can even deal with the aftermath of that if you want. And
yeah.
Anything or, like that.
Yeah, because there's actually a very strict timeline to Firefly. There's about a 10-year period between that war and then Serenity.
Yeah.
That we know about. So basically that's a great place to set a story, and you're fine. It's a great because what's that ship doing that's so important to the galaxy before Serenity happens?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. They're just flying around being dirtbags in cowboy space.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you're like, "Oh, this could very easily just be the story of some NPCs in the background doing stuff."
Yeah. Hell, Firefly would make a really good story set in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, just, so
no one goes over to that space. They all talk like weird made-up cowboys, and they work in Chinese dialogue, even though none of them are Chinese.
Yeah, the thing with IPs that ends up being terrible is, like I was saying, chosen ones.
Chosen,
if
yeah.
it's like Stormbringer, or if it's Wheel of Time, or what was the one that I had in mind when I was thinking of this? There was another one that was also basically a fantasy.
The Matrix? No, it was a fantasy one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was some fantasy one where it was like, oh yeah, and there's a chosen one, and he's going to do whatever.
I think The Matrix is a good example just because they've even tried. Like, they made that game.
Well, they did have a Matrix MMO.
Well, I know. And it watch how fast that thing shut down.
Oh, that died real quick.
Yeah. But think about it. They made that Matrix video game for one of the PlayStations or whatever where you didn't play as Neo. You played as Niobe or Ghost.
Yep.
Right. And then that game was so wildly unpopular that they re-released it where you also played as Neo. They're like, oh, okay, fine. You can play as your fucking trench coat Superman. Here he is.
Yay.
Whoa. You're good. You're fine. So, okay. Next question out of this pile of question here. Let's see. What IP out there without an RPG would make an amazing RPG based solely off setting? Let's run through the ones we've said when we've answered this question many times before. You ready?
So, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, Jurassic Park, Adventure Time, Steven Universe. Got any new ones?
Out of IPs that don't have an RPG yet, not really. I mean, most of the ones have either been taken or they don't really need it.
You know what would be a really good one would be Star Wars.
If only they had a game.
It's weird that no one's made a Star Wars RPG yet. It really feels like someone should have.
You'd think that, yeah. And yet.
Yeah, I'd also really like an RPG based off entirely an alternate universe in which Star Trek The Next Generation never happened. And instead, it was just sort of a continuation of the next 50 years of Star Trek, the original series history. And they introduced a whole bunch of new Klingon Empire races, and there were like space marines that lived on the Star Trek ships. That'd be neat. It'd be neat if someone did that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. That'd be great if someone did that.
Okay, so there we go. I think those are the questions. Was there a third one? Oh, what is the best IP-based game you know of, based specifically on IP and setting, not systems or crunch?
Well, if you're going to base it on an actual for reals setting,
yeah,
probably Star Wars. I mean, honestly, if I'm not making jokes or anything, Star Wars is probably going to be the best one for setting because you have so much to choose from.
It's true. It's such an expansive universe, and uniquely, you can do huge stories about it because so much has been written about the Star Wars universe that it's different than Star Trek, for example. You can set a big game in Star Trek.
Oh, I just remembered what my thing was. Not the one that I was originally thinking of, but a new one.
Oh,
for
okay.
A terrible one, Supernatural.
You think that would make for a terrible RPG?
Yeah, because if you're not one of the Winchester brothers, you literally do not matter for shit. You can go run around hunting monsters, but it'll be like, oh, what's happening? Oh, the devil is here, and he's trying to destroy the world. What can we do? Nothing. Okay, good.
All right. Okay, let's move on.
Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Big, long, goddamn question. Thank you so much, Pocket Fox.
Oh, Pocket Fox.
Next one. Let's see here. Blending elements of futuristic science fiction into a setting that is primarily fantasy. Are there any examples you've seen over the years that are particularly laughable or surprisingly effective? If you were going to make such a world for a game system, how would you go about it, Wandering Bishop? So he's looking for futuristic sci-fi into a fantasy setting.
Well, not so much futuristic sci-fi, but one of my favorite items in the old D&D Encyclopedia Magica was the vending machine.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved that one.
Wait, are we talking about the one that's like all the fucking shit that gnomes invented?
Well, the Encyclopedia Magica was just like four volumes of magic items.
Oh, okay, that's different. Because there's a D&D book out there for second edition D&D that is like a joke book. It's like the crazy gnome inventions of the D&D world. And it's like, what's this one? The gnomes invented a washing machine. They did it by putting gnomes in there, and they wash your clothes when you put them in. Sometimes they make one that's a soda machine, and you put a gold piece in, and a gnome pushes a goblin pushes a soda out the slot.
No, the description for this was 100% like, you come across a great like obelisk, and it is red and white, and it has many slots and buttons on there, and if anyone puts a gold piece in there and presses one of the buttons, a cylindrical metal object comes out, and you're like, okay, yeah, I get it.
All right, so let's see. Futuristic sci-fi into a setting that is primarily fantasy.
So, Stargate?
Actually, Stargate's probably a really good example of this. I mean,
yeah.
It's a great blending of, like, ancient society dealing with fantasy technology.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is, like, where I go to when I think of sort of that blend of fantasy sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've played, like, in the original basic D&D had a couple of adventures that were like, you're wandering through the mountains and you straight up find a UFO.
Oh, yeah, there is that famous one.
Yeah. So that's, I actually, you know, as much as that game actually wasn't all that fun and the monsters weren't well balanced and so on in that module, that's a crazy cool idea to run your party through.
Oh, yeah. That's the kind of thing where you're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah. Especially because they had it perfectly set up so that it wasn't just like, you find a UFO, gray aliens come out and beep at you. One of them probes your butt.
oh, man. Have you been looking at my session notes for the next time we play?
One of them probes your butt for its circumference. You are now playing Fatal. All right, let's see here. If you were going to make such a world for a game system, how would you do it? So how would you blend sci-fi into a fantasy world?
Well, you would probably end up having... I feel like the way I would do it is sort of like the Stargate thing, but a little more like cyberpunk-esque,
mm-hmm.
in that it's... there is fantasy, but you have sort of a ruling technocracy with magic being put down wherever they can find it. And so,
oh, okay. Like, so you got a lot of rebel wizards.
Yeah. So you'd have mostly like runners that are wizards that do like spells to hack into systems and things.
Yeah. I still like the idea that we had for some terrible game. I think it was Fifth Age, some terrible game we reviewed that is entirely
The all archaeology wizards.
Yeah. The archaeology wizards uncovering the technological past.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun. You know what else I just realized would make a fairly good blending of sci-fi and fantasy, and also would be an IP that would make a great RPG that no one's done yet, is Assassin's Creed.
Hmm.
Because especially if you knocked out all of the Animus stuff, and you were just like, all right, you're playing as straight-up Assassins versus the Templars in the distant past, and every once in a while you find yourself raiding some tomb that's got a bunch of lasers in it.
Huh.
And Assassin's Creed seems like it would lend itself fairly well to the whole RPG setting, right down to the point where you could really kind of take in some of those video game elements. You could have no permadeath. It could be an RPG where that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like you die and you're like, no, that's not how it happened. Let me tell the correct story.
You do that Prince of Persia thing?
Yeah. Prince of Persia, also good RPG, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of modern video games seem like they'd lend themselves well to RPGs.
Although Prince of Persia, less so, since you aren't the one guy that has a dagger that controls time.
Fair enough, yeah. Well, what if you were? What if there was a lot more time sand?
What if there's just a party of five people and each of them has a dagger that does this?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you're playing Continuum.
And if they hold all their daggers in the air, they can summon Captain Planet.
Oh, sweet.
That's a weird Prince of Persia game.
It's so weird.
All right. Okay, next question. And this is a long one that's going to be interesting to you since you just came back from this part of the world. From Fuzzy Gundam, who is Irish.
Oh, good.
And asks, as a gamer in the British Isles, it's very different for me to escape the institution that Warhammer 40K is over here. Even a non-war gamer invariably gets exposed to the game in game stores and clubs, and it seeps into the general nerd conversations of many gamers, forming a common reference point for people to connect with. It's also aggressively marketed by Games Workshop to an almost cult-like degree, who do everything to draw in impressionable teens, drain them of their cash, and then dump them as their grognardism starts to set in. So I find it difficult to imagine a gaming environment where 40K is not a looming presence in the background. As primarily RPG players in the ass end of Southern California, what is your exposure to the finger quotes hobby, end finger quotes, of Warhammer 40K? Is it an institution in your friendly local game store, or is it resigned to the back shelves in the war stories of grognards? Do the endless novels fill up the sci-fi sections of your bookstores, or do they line the bottoms of the bargain bins at your thrift stores? Has it ever presented itself to you as anything but fodder for teenage boy power fantasies and or nostalgia fodder for wargamers? Have you ever been tempted to use the 40K setting in an RPG, either ironically or with any semblance of seriousness? So I guess we're going to start here by addressing what 40K culture is like in Southern California. It's prevalent and pretty regular. Both of our local nerd stores have a 40K contingent that plays regularly, although I'm gonna be truthful here, it's shrinking a lot recently.
Oh, okay, so 40K used to be a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah, it was king shit of fuck mountain for years at the local nerd stores.
Yeah, you would definitely on 40K night, which was just once a week, was the 40K league.
Yeah, they had 40K league. They had open play on Saturdays, and then I believe Sunday or Saturday mornings was the...
You had Saturday morning, you had a group that did 40K that was not associated with the league, and then Sunday morning, you had a group that did Warhammer Fantasy.
But there was also an Apocalypse Day where they'd play that giant
Once a month, they'd do an Apocalypse.
Okay, yeah. So, lots of days throughout the week were dedicated to 40K or Games Workshop nonsense.
Yeah, and with that, like it used to be, if you went in on league night, the place was packed. They had to like turn people away occasionally because they had no more spots left in the league.
Yeah, players got to be known by their armies and their reputations would precede them. And they'd
Like, oh, what's that? Oh, that's Wolf Lord Pat. He plays Space Wolves and has for like 20 years.
Yeah, and you could actually tell him apart from Tyranid Pat, the two Pats.
Yeah, the double Pats.
Yeah, and they were both really good at their armies.
And
so, was it Tyranid Pat? Who was that guy?
Yeah, sure.
Who am I thinking of? I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah, there was a very strong culture of 40K. To a lesser extent, there still is. I mean, 40K pretty much dominates the shelves of the local stores because there's so much of it that it needs the space.
But honestly, it's slipped so much since mostly just like the Age of Sigmar.
Between 40K 4th and 5th edition, it started to die, and I forget where it is now. But
it's on 8th?
I think, isn't that Fantasies on 8th? It's like 6th or something like that.
No,
that
it's
40K's
7th
on
edition.
Is it 7th? Okay,
it's
sure.
It's the latest one.
All right, yeah, but
because
it is...
Because 7th edition was basically 6.5.
Okay, it is rapidly started to dwindle and die. I could tell you a story about the last time I was at the local nerd store and I saw people playing 40K. Two guys got assigned to play, and one of them wasn't there yet, and the other one didn't want to play because their two armies, he said, would take forever to fight each other. And so he called the guy, and they agreed to flip a coin to see who would win their fight for the league.
Yep.
Because that's what 40K appears to have turned into at this point. And I'm going to be honest, both John and I rabidly played this game for years.
Oh, yeah. Now, back when we started playing, it was one of those things where you had a fairly diverse amount of armies.
Yes.
So you'd see more Imperium than not, which is your space, like, Marines and... various flavors of like the Imperial Guard and whatnot. That was more than anything else, which is true wherever you are.
And when we joined it,
a bunch of stuff.
When we joined it, it was five of us who all got into the game at the same time. Like our core group of friends, our rock band group, if you will, decided to start playing 40K at the same time, and all of us picked different armies. And we were like, let's have fun playing against each other these different armies. So we had Russ who picked his orcs. We had Brian, who picked, I believe, Tau to start out with, which is perfect for him, because Tau at that point were a depressing afterthought in the game, and it was just exactly what he needed to be bitter but intellectual.
Yeah.
Jake picked Black Templars.
Yep.
Which was perfect for him. And you had a Chaos Army.
I did.
Chaos Space Marines, specifically. And I, of course, with my Death Doll Humans persona, picked Tyranids.
Indeed.
And still have yet to play a human army ever in anything.
Good.
It's just not my game. So, but we got into the local league, and it was awesome. It was a huge, huge thing. Nowadays, the game has gotten so anti-diversified to the point where there's only like three or four armies that matter.
Well, yeah, the two guys who were going to play had apparently just the exact same army.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot.
Yeah.
Or at least I've seen, because I haven't played in a year and a half at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd show up and go, oh, there's the guys who are all doing this one army. There's the guys who are all doing the other army. And occasionally you'd see something in between.
And wouldn't you know it, the armies all look the same, because there's some shade of Imperium mixed with other Imperium.
Yeah.
That's what it all is. It's a bunch of, blessings on our local store guys, because a lot of them are real nice, and I love hanging out with them and playing other games with them. But a lot of them are just pushing gray plastic and other gray plastic.
And a lot have gone to other systems, like they're doing Trinity. And
Trinity's become a big thing here. So one of the questions here was, how prevalent is it? War Machine has a foothold here in San Diego. Trinity has a foothold.
Yeah. Other war games are getting more popular.
Guild Ball has started to become a thing around here. So, and also, no one plays the 40K RPGs here. We know they exist. Hell, we've covered one on the show.
And I do know some of the people that played 40K in the league that we're friends with had a regular 40K game. And I think they might still have it. But it's not something that's popular.
Right. As to the novels,
they're around.
They're around. You see them in bookstores and so on. They are not prevalent here.
Oh, no.
No.
You can find them, but it's usually in gaming stores, not so much in bookstores.
Yes.
Because usually the gaming store will just have right next to, the codex books for the various armies and how to play them, will be like, and here's some novels.
Right. And I have one. My old friend Shane loaned it to me because he thought I should read a 40K novel, and then he moved away like a week later.
Yeah.
So I still have the damn thing. I've tried to read it a few times, and I cannot. My disdain for Space Marines makes it impossible to read, because it's just every 40K product, even like a box full of Tyranids, still has a blowjob for Space Marines printed on it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they can't not do it.
They are all about the wankery for Space Marines.
Yeah, and the books are just, oh, they're so insufferable. The mighty, erudite, super genius Space Marine who spoke seven languages, soaked luxuriously in his super bath. Later, he would get much sex from many fine ladies. But for now, he was too busy thinking the deepest thoughts in creation. Then he will go down a water slide while hand jobs are busted out upon him.
It's especially bad when it starts talking about, the named characters, because if it's like, ugh, here is a Space Marine, he is the superest of badasses, and then it talks about someone that actually has a name in the game, and you're like, oh, well, we're gonna get like a 3-page long soliloquy about how badass this guy is.
Yeah. Ugh. Pass. So there you go. Have I ever been tempted to use the 40K RPG in a or setting in an RPG? No, not at all. We did play for a very brief time, the five of us played a campaign. We built our own campaign with our own little cluster of stars and had our various armies beat each other up at various locations. This was after I had switched from Tyranids to Eldar because, generally speaking, everyone agreed that my Tyranids were too bullshit.
Yeah, so you went to the other bullshit army.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know. I never knew. I wasn't reading the rule books at the time. So I had no idea that moving from Tyranids to Eldar was cheating to different cheating. And by the way, if you're thinking Tyranids have never been unfairly powerful, this was like 4th edition when they actually had a gunline army that mattered.
Yep.
Yeah, so, okay, moving on.
That was a lot of talk about 40K that most people don't care about.
Don't worry, it'll never happen again. Well, until we cover the next 40K book, which I'm sure we'll get our hands on Rogue Trader at some point.
I'm sure.
Yeah. All right, next question from Jarnagua, and he says, 3D6 versus D20, which is superior? Why is there a 5% chance to be super awesome or a super failure? Because it's a sacred cow?
Yeah.
The D20 has been a sacred cow since D&D. It will always be a sacred cow. There's nothing we can do about it.
Nope. And now that people know what a D20 is and associate that so heavily with playing a game,
mm-hmm.
then most games that come out that are like, well, we need to get people immediately, oh, I know what this game is. All right, 3D6 stats and a D20 for hitting. All right, people already know what you're talking about, and you're off to the races.
Right. And as for the super failure thing, you've probably heard us on the show rail against D20 systems with crit failures before as just stupid. And the reason for that is because they change the tone of your game dramatically.
Well, it becomes, don't do anything more than you would want to. Like, if I was going to attack, say, 3 times and do 5 damage each, that's way worse than attacking once and doing 15. Because even though if I whiff the 1 15... then I don't get any damage, but the three of those give me a chance to roll a one, and then I apparently just shove a sword up my ass.
Exactly. Three chances to roll a stupid one, in which case, and this is a problem that's just become sort of pervasive in the culture, is that crit failures are your character doing the stupidest possible cartoon thing all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. You're doing a grim and gritty, like, Game of Thrones-esque game, and then someone rolls a one, and all of a sudden, the Keystone cops bust in, and everyone's slipping on banana peels and throwing pies into their faces.
Yeah, and I wish it was ever that funny, that all of a sudden it was a 1920s, like, silent picture movie about cops and robbers. It's always... how many times have I been playing in like a game store or something and, oh, I rolled a one. Your character shits his pants.
Great.
It's always that. It's always, your character shits his pants or your character becomes gay. It's just like, don't. Honestly, critical failure in general, unless you're playing a cartoony game, you should just do away with it.
No.
And assume that your characters are, at the very least, competent.
Yeah. I mean, if you miss, great, you missed.
Yeah.
But the critical failure thing where you are like, and now your sword is broken and you can't fight anymore. You're like, okay, so 1 in 20 times when I roll this die, I just lose at the game.
Right. Now, replacing that with 3d6 makes it so that your odds to either get that 18 or that 3 are a lot lower. It's like 1 in 216 or something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And it can help smooth out the curve and give you an easy way to play a game. I consistently talk on the show about how much I like War Machine.
Yep.
Because it uses a 2d6, which gives you a bell curve, which means you can predictively model how things work. You don't have to deal with that ridiculous 1 to 20 swing that turns your character into a joke.
Yeah, and you know, when you have that, I apparently can't roll above a 7 today, and you get 6 of those in a row, and you're like, all right, well,
yeah.
There we go.
Okay. So, there you go. Which is superior between 3d6 and d20? I would probably say 3d6.
Yeah, if I had to
probably.
Pick.
If I was picking for historical value and, like, sort of importance to the hobby, it'd be like, well, yeah, okay, the d20 has had a lot of cultural cachet. It is very important to this gaming industry.
Yes.
But that's kind of like saying, pick between modern America and Egyptian culture from, like, 4,000 years ago. And you have to be like, okay, well, the dynasties of ancient Egypt last, like, 6,000 years, so that's amazing. Good on them. We have to historically acknowledge that, but no, I don't want to spend my time making beer you have to chew.
Oh, man, but I do. Where's that beer gum?
Ooh, gross.
Yeah. I'm going to give you some hops gum.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know what you hate.
I hate hops so much. I hate IPAs. Just give me that, what's the other one? The one that's not IPAs.
I don't know, a stout?
Lagers. Lagers are fine.
You want a good old stout.
Stouts are okay, too. All right, next question. Hey, dorks, what was the deal with Love Jenga? I sort of gathered that there was something funky about your Jenga tile set, but I couldn't figure out exactly what from the show. Could you expound on that, preferably at length? Thanks. The Judge.
Good.
Okay, so Love Jenga is our copy of Jenga.
It is.
I don't have another copy of Jenga.
Nope, that's the one.
It is something we bought at the local nerd store for $1. It is Jenga, the exact Jenga you know and love, except with white and pink tiles instead of regular tiles. And upon each tile is printed a dare, a badly translated into English from Chinese dare that are so tame that your parents could easily play this game with you.
Oh, yeah. It'd be way better if your parents were playing with you, because then when you have to call them to say thank you don't have to even do it.
Right. So the dares are all things of... just tame, G-rated, nothing nature. And yet the box, in lots and lots of little asides all over the box, tells you, this is the ultimate date game. Play this with your beloved, and so on. But it's all things like, turn to round and speak in tone of infant.
Yeah, just ones where it's like, oh, give your phone to someone and let them take a picture or whatever. You're like, okay.
Show everyone what is in your purse or wallet.
All right.
Yeah, and it's just lights of that. It's things like, tell a riddle and let everyone guess the answer.
Everyone.
That's
even if
my
the
favorite.
First person gets it right.
That's my favorite thing to do with that game, is to read what the clues say, literally. Like, you absolutely literally have to take these crazy, poorly written things to heart. So when it says turn to round and speak in tone of infant, you have to figure out what that means literally and not just kind of guess at it.
Yeah.
That's what makes the game fun. Anyway, it's an amazing Jenga.
It's the best Jenga.
If you can find it, you should get it, because playing with those dumbass dares makes the game amazing. I have so many of my pictures of my various fat nerd friends doing an interesting pose for everyone to take a picture.
Yay.
Also, I've seen what the last three calls on all their mobile phones is like 5 times. When you know it, everyone pretty much just calls their work. Yeah, it's not that interesting. Never
also,
is.
It's you can tell when it was made because there's one that's like, what is the 7th number in your phone contacts? And you're like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, that was before everything was just alphabetical and it was by when you put it in.
Yeah, it's like, what is the 3rd contact? And for me, it's my friend Arnon.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. All right, moving on. Next question. Here we go. Dear Jeff and John, can you agree on pizza toppings? It seems that no matter how close two people get, they can never achieve this arguably simple task. Also, which one of you is Batman and which is Robin? Colin.
Well, we kind of can because Jeff hates all toppings except for pepperoni, so it's just pepperoni every time.
No, we've had a very agreeable pizza relationship over the past several years because we're both giant fat fucks who will happily just get our own fucking pizza and be done with it. The ultimate topping for a pizza that I'm going to eat is that no one else will have that pizza.
Yeah. The best topping for a pizza is another pizza that you can give to someone else so they don't eat your pizza.
Exactly. Any pizza at all, is a personal pizza if you try hard and believe in yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but ultimately, we generally just get pepperoni if it's the two of us being forced to share a pie.
Yeah. Otherwise, I've been really into bacon and pineapple.
Yeah, and I've been coming around to the barbecue chicken thing. I like a nice... Recently, I've been doing a lot of building my own pizzas, and I make them with barbecue sauce, roast chicken, a cilantro and roasted salted peanuts and onions, red onions.
Yeah, see, I've been doing the, for my very favorite, is the, like, cream white sauce instead of the red sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You do chicken, bacon, artichoke hearts.
Ooh.
And then you put a little pesto on the top of that.
That sounds amazing. Is that something that Mama Celeste is doing now? Because I know that your standard pizza is one of them Mama Celeste boxes with a little gray plate. That sounds like they've really stepped up their game from the days of little cubes of what you assume are pepperoni. Actually, that's really more of a Totino's party pizza thing.
Oh, the party pizza.
The most depressing food you can buy at the local grocery store.
Oh, man, because you open that up and you're like, oh, it says party pizza.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to share this, like, 3-inch diameter shit pizza that you just put in a microwave.
You can't.
That comes out soggy and depressing.
Exactly, because the weirdest thing about the Totino's party pizza, this isn't the pizza roll we're talking about here. The pizza roll is fun and has internet cachet, and people are like, oh, yeah, email my web zone if you want me to send do a pizza roll or whatever the fuck the Red Letter Media guys are doing. But pizza, Totino's party pizza is the depressed man's pizza. It's a pizza that's a suicide note.
It's a pizza for one for a gentleman that has not gotten up the nerve to stick his head in the oven instead.
Yeah, instead he'll put that pizza in there. That $1.25 pizza that's so cheap that the cheese doesn't cover, and instead of pepperoni of a roundness are pepperoni that are tiny cubes.
Yeah.
That is,
man.
It's the saddest food at the grocery store, sort of like chicken thighs in white gravy in the can.
Nah, man, I have probably once in my life gotten those Totinos because I was like, oh shit, like $1 a piece? That's amazing. Sure, I'll get that.
Yeah.
Made one and went, oh man, even I'm not that depressed.
No, that is the literal, like, living example of that Jim Gaffigan joke about how Hot Pockets make you feel after you eat them. Hot Pockets are just some food I can eat. Whatever, I'm going to burn my tongue because you can never microwave them to consistency. The Totino's party pizza is like, why did I eat this? What even is a party? Is a party me sitting alone in my underwear watching a Star Trek The Next Generation episode I've seen 6 times while eating this?
Yep. It sure is. That's a good party.
This grease disc with nothing on it?
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Anyway, which one of us is Batman and which is Robin? I am Batman and John is also Batman.
Double Batman.
Two Batmans.
I'm a Batman of a different nation.
That's correct. You're the mighty Batman of Ireland.
Yeah. I'm Shamrock Batman.
Potato Man.
That's racist. Only we can say that.
You're not Irish.
Yes, I am.
Oh, wait,
that's
you
why
are.
I went there.
That's right. You are Irish. You don't know what nationality I am.
I don't know. Probably Swedish.
No, I'm German.
Oh, so that's close.
I could be the Batman of Germany. But I don't want to be.
No one wants to be the Batman of Germany.
He's so efficient.
I think it's just like Batman Fest or something. October, no, Bat.
It's Deflator Mouse.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Next question. Let's see. This one comes to us from whatever fucking Beth. It's a great name, by the way.
Good name.
Whatever, fucking Beth. If you could jump into a pool of anything, what would it be?
Okay, if I could jump into a pool of anything.
Yeah, a pool of anything.
All right. Well, I mean, the initial thought I have is like very Scrooge McDuck, like money.
Coins.
But it's not like I get to keep it. I just get to jump into a pool of it, and that would hurt.
Well, maybe you'll have some up your butt crack or whatever, like when you jump into an actual pool and you get some water up there.
You know when you jump into an actual pool and get some coins up your butt crack.
Well, I do. Maybe you've been doing it wrong. Okay, but first of all, we have to establish, can you jump into the pool? Like, if you can jump into a pool of anything, does that imply the ability to do it no matter what's in the pool? Like,
no.
Could I jump into a
not.
Pool of stone, for example?
No, you jump into the pool and then hit stone.
Okay, so first of all, you need Scrooge McDucky and powers then if you'd like to jump
exactly.
into a pool of coins.
Well, I mean, you could do a pool of, like, dollar bills, but then you'd probably just get a lot of paper cuts.
Yeah, and just sort of floats halfway to the bottom as they all compress underneath you.
Yep.
Okay, so basically the best option is a liquid or a colloid then, so you don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, gee.
I want one of them Newtonian liquids that you can just, like, run across like it's a solid until you stop and then you sink into it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be kind of neat. I've seen people actually fill pools with that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
is rad.
That's neat. I mean, I don't want to jump into a pool of it. I'd like to run across a pool of it because I feel like I'd die if I jumped into a pool of it.
Well, yeah, you'd probably just get stuck and then be there forever. You'd be like a mosquito in amber, and we'd find you some years later and then extract out whatever was inside of you and, I don't know, clone out a pizza roll or something.
All right, let's see. I am going to go with... And I hope that the question doesn't involve killing the animals that are in the pool, because I'd like to jump into a pool of puppies.
Well, I mean, you're jumping into it.
Yeah, I know. But I don't want them. Well, okay, it's not a full pool of puppies. I can define how it is.
Great.
It's
only the deep end is full of puppies.
Exactly. I'm going to jump into the shallow end and head on down to that deep end full of puppies. There's my answer. I want so many puppies. Maybe there's some ferrets in there, too. Those are great.
Maybe some ferrets.
Yeah, a couple of ferrets, a lot of puppies. None of them are fighting.
Pool of puppies, now with ferrets.
So, actually, I think I'll just modify your original answer. I will jump into a shallow end of a pool that is full of money, and then I'll take the money. Use it on Totino's party pizzas.
Just hand them out to people.
System Mastery is brought to you by Totino's party pizzas.
You're probably depressed enough for this, right?
Eat this, and then call this hotline.
If you don't get help from somewhere, we're sorry. Have
okay.
Totino's.
The Totino's hotline. Hi, Totino's. I just ate one of your pizzas. And
oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Did you read the box? We specifically advise against that.
Warning, this is a pizza. Do not be fooled, though.
Do not consume. Open package and discard. Those are the only cooking
instructions. Four jokes only.
Preheat oven to 450 degrees. Open package. Remove plastic lining. Discard plastic lining. Discard pizza. Call this hotline. Totino's Party Pizzas. There's another way. All right. Ted Cheddar asks, what RPG tattoo should I get?
Well, I mean, outside of getting something like just a die.
Mm-hmm. The die is probably the most basic answer. Yeah, that'd be fair.
Yeah, that's sort of the standard one. You could get one that's like all the various different ones. You could get like a D4 and a D6 and so on.
Yeah, or like maybe in a chain around your arm. Like get one of those like a tribe, like one of those bands that goes around your arm, but it's the polyhedral set.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of neat. On like a little ribbon or something. That'd be a sort of cool tattoo. I could get behind that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Let's see. I've always wanted a tattoo specifically that is the, and this is going outside of the tabletop realm. I've always wanted the fight magic item run menu from Final Fantasy. Just in the little blue box, just like it has been since time immemorial, like all the old Nintendo and Super Nintendo games, that just in a little blue pixelated box. And of course, I want the little finger pointer to be pointing at magic. So that's my RPG tattoo of choice.
Sweet.
What do you got?
For me, RPG tattoo, man, I don't know. I'd probably go with the... like the iconic Rift's head.
Ooh,
that's
yeah.
like the half demon, half glitter boy.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, because then that's one of those things that isn't immediately recognizable. Someone might see that and go like, what, is that some kind of weird symbol for something? What is that?
I'd also be okay with the Shadowrun goat skull.
Oh, the Shadowrun goat skull.
That would work pretty well. You know what I just realized I'd really like to get tattooed if I was getting anything is the Thaco tables.
Oh, man.
Get the Thaco.
Or just Thaco. Yeah. Just have that tattooed
just
on you.
Just the word Thaco?
Yeah.
That's kind of, I feel like that's sending a message. I think if you do that, you're like one of those people that's like, the game got stupid when they switched away Thaco and armor class that went into the negatives.
Well, no, I would have that tattoo, but it would have the big circle with a line through it over it.
Oh, death to Thaco.
No, Thaco.
See, I'd like to get the Thaco tables tattooed on me because they're useful. At that point, it's just a personal body reference chart.
I just get a chest tattoo that says, like, AC-20.
Ooh, how about getting an entire, like the, you know, the DMG screen, like with all the useful tables of information? How about getting that done entirely across your back on, like, wings? Like, you get some of them Viking-style wings tattooed on your back, but it's all, like, reaction tables for if you encounter a wolf.
Yeah.
Ah, the hardness of the door of a castle. All right, well, that's my suggestion. Get a giant full back piece done that's a DM screen.
My suggestion is get a spider skull walker.
Ooh, you're just loving that Riftsart, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I want a piece of Riftsart on me at all times.
Yeah, that seems fair. All right. Okay, last question of the day. Here we go. Hello, System Masterites. I am visiting your town very soon. Cool. Good for you. It's a great town. Don't worry, I intend to leave you alone since meeting you couldn't be anything but disappointing.
That is true.
Also true. Yeah, it's not a good experience. But answer me this. What's the name of the good nerd store, and where should I eat? Thanks, Dumpus. Good names tonight.
Okay, so there's, what? There's only two.
But no one's
really
visiting North San Diego.
No.
That's the thing. Is if you're going all the way up to past Del Mar and you're going to get into, like, then you can go to Paradise Games, and they're fine. They're a good store. They're a little outside of our range. I like them a lot, but I'm never up there.
Yeah.
So for the two that matter to us, you've got At Ease Games.
Yep.
Which is up in the Miramar area, up by the Miramar Naval Air Station. And that's a really, really nicely put together, fairly new game that has very comfortable table setups. It's crowded and popular, so it can be hard to find a long-term table in there. But if you're looking for a good book, good place to go.
Yeah, and then there is Game Empire, which is...
It's our Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go in there and people know who we are. John, because he used to work there, and because I am a known asshole.
Yeah. So, you know, just in there all the time.
Yeah.
I live right next to Game Empire, and I work right next to At Ease, so.
Yeah. You end up at both of them quite a bit. So those are the two good nerd stores. They're definitely both worth checking out. They have good people running them, lots of good games on deck, and, good selections.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're looking for War Machine specifically, you're going to want to go to At Ease. If you're looking for 40K, I'd say going to Game Empire is probably better for you. The book selections are pretty similar between the two of them.
Yeah. The I'd say probably a little bit better RPG selection in Game Empire, and especially they've got a bit better for old used RPG. We found a lot of stuff for the show.
Yeah, you
in
stay
Game
away
Empire.
From their used RPGs. Those are mine. I just haven't bought them all yet.
Yeah, and if you do show up at Game Empire, tell whoever's behind the counter that John sent you, and they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about?
And then you have to point out that you're not the John that still works there, but the John that doesn't work there anymore.
And not the other John that doesn't work there, but the John that has a podcast that doesn't work there.
Yeah, then they'll get it.
Then they'll know, but you have to say the whole thing.
And ultimately, they'll be disappointed by all of this, but just do it anyway.
Do it.
Yeah, have fun with it. Now, as to where you should eat in San Diego.
Cotihan.
Cotihan is probably the best recommend. The thing about San Diego, and I'm not sure where you're from, Dumpus, I'm sorry, but you know how in New York you get a pizza or a hot dog at the end of the night when you're done with the bar, and in Ireland I hear it's all kebabs?
Yeah, that's basically the only thing open past 8.
Yes, in San Diego, it's burritos.
Yeah, if you want to get some burritos or carne asada fries. Yeah, thing you want here.
If you want to tamp down that late night drunk, it's burritos in San Diego or carne asada fries, or you can combine the two and get the famed California burrito. And if you're here from another state or country, you need to get that at least once. It's a burrito with fucking French fries in it. What do you want? It's amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah, so get that. Have some of those. Try the fish tacos while you're here. That's a San Diego delicacy. I find people from other parts of California have no idea what the fish taco is, and don't believe me when I tell them. It's fried fish on 2 corn tortillas with cabbage, white sauce, and red sauce, and it's amazing.
Yep.
So there you go. Those are the big things. I would also recommend a restaurant I've been really enjoying recently called Swine and Soda, which is meatballs and fancy soda drinks, and that's up in North Park. Check that out. You'd like it a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of hipster stuff around there.
Yeah, there is. That's right next to a really funny, like, all the waiters wear waistcoat-style restaurant called Polite Provisions. So that's the kind of neighborhood you're in, but they're all good.
Yeah.
There we go. So, though, welcome to our fair city. We look forward to seeing you when you're here.
But we won't.
We won't. We won't see you unless you show up at Game Empire and we're there, in which case you'll never recognize us.
You'll never know!
Except that we talk like this all the time.
Yeah, you'll just hear our booming idiot voices from the back going like, no, you're wrong!
Doing the exact same shit we do on the podcast, just not on a podcast at the moment.
Yeah, just sitting in the back making dumb jokes.
Things that only one of the other of us would laugh at.
Yeah, just making a Lorenzo music joke that only we are laughing at.
Yeah, everyone else. Oh, being asked to be quiet by the rest of the people in the store.
People playing 40K are like, excuse me, I'm trying to play here. And we're just like, ah, shut up.
No, you're not. You're just pushing your boring net list at a different boring net list. And then you're going to put it in your $400 bag you just bought to carry unpainted plastic around, you scrub. 40K players are the worst. You know why? Because it's from the UK.
Yeah, and everything from the UK is terrible. Actually,
England specific.
Let me tell you, being in Ireland for like a week and a half, went to a lot of museums, a lot of historical things. Jesus, at the end of that, I was like, man, fuck the British. Am I right, everyone here? Am I right, everyone in Ireland? And they were like, yeah, yeah, fuck the British.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we hate the British. The only things we hate more than the British are the Irish. Ireland. All right, well, that's been it for an Afterthought episode. We got through it, John.
We did it.
You can go home, go to bed. It's fucking 10:30. God damn
it. Oh, my God. I have to be awake and at work.
There's no way my girlfriend's not in bed at this point.
Well, let's shut her down.
Ugh, Christ. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in a week with another System Mastery episode. In the meantime, we've got a Movie Mastery coming out real soon. If you have System Master or Afterthought questions, we desperately need them. We are running low, so send those in to systemmastery@gmail.com or find our new subreddit, r/systemmastery,
yeah.
And there's an Afterthought question thread in there that's sticky. Please fill it up with new Afterthought questions. Otherwise, we've got RPG episodes coming out like you would not believe. Support us on Patreon. Find us at all the various social media outlets where we are. We are called System Mastery on all of them. Rate and review us on iTunes. Don't eat any Totino's party pizzas because we love you and we want you to stay alive and with us. And have a good week.